going through my notes again, to my website myself, realizing how much stuff I put out there and taught, and kind of look at it and go, oh, that's pretty good. You know, that Bible's fantastic. It's not me. I mean, I'll be the first to say that. I'm just telling people what the Bible says, I guess, and here it says this and that. See these guys, they get out in these pulpits and they got to have their education, like this gainsayer said here, well, you can piece this in with Colossians. Well, see, it takes an education to go through this Bible and piece all these things together to make it look like it's not dispensational. You just have to have an education. That's exactly what they're doing. And the people out in the congregation go, oh, isn't that marvelous? So that makes sense. And before you know it, you've got them asking for forgiveness in 1 John 1:9 because of the sins they committed. And then they get their fellowship restored from God and they're scared. It's just like, you guys, what, they're just manipulating their people. They're extortioners, which is what the Bible Paul even says. There will be extortioners in these days. So I came across this one page. Again, it was kind of a summary page, and it didn't have any scriptures on it, but we know enough that these are scriptural. And one of the things, I mentioned this last week, and I mention it again here, that sometimes we put the references out there, and it's there for people to realize it's from the Bible. But amongst us family, we know this is in the Bible, so you can look it up, and you recognize the Bible verses anyway. And sometimes those references detract, or distract, probably both, I guess. And, for example, here's the list. I have here, the world is full of, : evil affecting brethren, feeble-minded whiners, high-mindedness, fleshy puffed-up minds, blinded minds, otherwise minded and still in bondage to the Great Commission, treat brethren like enemies, and they would accuse us of treating them like they're an enemy, but they can't put scriptures to ours, and we can put scriptures to what we say. But anyway. Selfish desires of mind as well as with flesh, reprobate minds, corrupt minds, and carnal minds. Then I have listed here, kids included in attack. Things that we've seen that deal with kids. Color books, in their Sunday school color books, teach them false gospel. Education in the public schools or private schools, now everybody's talking about evolution. And ozone depletion, you know, the hole in the ozone layer, the global warming stuff. And I'll tell you, some of the best books my kids read in the school they teach out are this Potter stuff, you know, wizards and spirits and things. There's tons of space movies, space books, space stories about some of these creatures coming in from space, so the kids will be ready for Revelation chapter 6. You look at their music they listen to, and I'm actually putting together a little chart here. I might, for my kids at the school, the older kids. And I'm not going to mention any biblical stuff in there as such. I'm going to show them the three races. Maybe we'll talk about that one of these nights. You study music by looking at Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and look at the races of the people. And we can see where we are today. And I can't get all that to them. I'm trying to give them a basic flavoring in there, though. The schools are doing a horrible job of teaching their kids. I was talking with my wife this morning about how, you know, the schools are running out of money. And our little school district here has at least 6 or 7 full-time teachers that teach one or two kids because of the special ed stuff. That's got to cost big bucks, special reading, special math, all this kind of stuff. They kind of bring in the homeschool concept amongst the public school thing, you know. And the more they test them, the more they go into those programs, the more money they get from the government. So there you have it. And the families are so destroyed that the schools are doing the job of the family. And the latest thing they're talking about is the school should provide dinner for the kids. Okay, so let's look at it this way. We are providing them rides to school, breakfast when they get there, school all day long, after school activities, and then let's provide them dinner and then go home and sleep at night. Watch TV and sleep at night. And we want to take care of their social issues. We want to take care of their mental things. Forget about teaching them anything. Want to teach them not to bully, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But anyway. Then I've got written down here, where are the Bible-believing Christians? Here's my list, with willing minds, forward minds, readiness of mind, humility of the mind, renewed minds, fully persuaded minds, fervent minds, understanding minds, minds not soon shaken, sound minds, sober minds, mindfulness of others, minds that strive together. And if you want that list, I can send it to you, and you can find the scriptures for it, but that's exactly what's going on. The world is full of those people, and Bible-believing Christians, that's what we ought to have when it comes to our mind. And we see the attack the kids are under. So that was just a page I found. I said, oh, that's pretty good. I'll pull that up, type it up. Let's look at this letter that this guy wrote. You know, just he says he's listened to all the series. Are y'all still there? I see a yes pop up there. Here it comes, bink, enter. There it is. He says here, I'm going to do this. I know it's hard. I don't like to hear people read me something because I have to be able to read along. So I apologize if you're like me. But I'll do my best here to help you. Just read a little bit and then we'll comment on it. First he says, I know you were done with me. Then a couple sentences later he says, if you wish not to hear from me again, just let me know. So that, see, I mean, there's what we're dealing with. I've written dumb things before too, but, you know, whatever. Okay, he says here that I dismissed Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Here's the problem this guy has. This guy cannot grasp that Hebrews through Jude, even though it was written during the gospel times, right before Paul, etc., that it would be written to the tribulation, because that wasn't the tribulation. So that's written for the church of God. That's written for us. Well, first of all, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Paul says in Galatians 1, if anybody preaches any other gospel, anything else, you know, he's accursed. It's wrong. It's supposed to be Paul. Paul and Paul only. And if there happens to be something in the gospels, if there happens to be something in Hebrews to Jude that matches what Paul teaches, which is totally fine, suddenly, the whole Hebrews to Jude fits for the church age. No, it's just that Jesus taught the Jews some certain things, that he also taught the Gentiles some certain things, and he taught them both the same thing. That doesn't mean that all of the Gospels moves in with all of Paul's writings. Doesn't mean that at all. Just happens to be that there's a couple of things that Jesus taught to the Jews, and he's still going to teach to the Gentiles. And this guy can't grasp that. There's some stuff in 1 Peter that Jesus talks to the tribulation saints about. You know, the trial of their faith, etc., etc. And we have our faith tested today. That's not a problem. But that certainly doesn't mean that all of Peter is written to the church age, to us today. Not at all. It just means that when you've got faith, you're going to be tried. Look at the Old Testament. Their faith was tried. Our faith is tried, and the faith will be tried during the tribulation. So that doesn't mean that all this has to be put together. And that's what his whole point that he can't grasp. Anyway, let's get back to what he said here. I dismissed Daniel 9:27. Okay, so look at, if you want to look at it, it says here, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease, etc., etc. I don't remember dismissing 9:27 because I don't remember talking about that at all with him, but, you know, so be it. He says, you dismissed it because it was one verse and it was Old Testament. Remember, there is quite a bit in the Old Testament prophets about subjects such as the tribulation and Christ's kingdom. Well, Jay, that's my point. That is totally my point. You can go back to the Old Testament, and we should, for what's in there. It's there for us. The stuff about the tribulation is there for us to know about the tribulation, to know about the kingdoms, to know about the king. All this stuff is there for us to know. But it certainly doesn't mean that that stuff is supposed to be applied to us. And he says, 1 John 2:18 talks about the coming of the Antichrist. Daniel 9:27 talks about the Antichrist. He goes down and he says that, well, Casey, then, Daniel 9:27 is not a verse to be overlooked. That is what happened, though, in your series. Oh, well, whatever. Daniel 9:27 shows that 1 John cannot be written to the people in the tribulation because the Antichrist is not on the scene. Okay, now let's go back and he needs to see that presentation I have where it takes out Paul's dispensation of grace, takes it out of there, and the Bible all fits together as a Jewish book without the Gentiles being reached. And he'll see that, you know, John wrote this stuff because, yes, Antichrist was going to come. Christ himself was going to come. So if Peter was talking about the fact that Christ is going to come back, well, then before Christ comes back, the Antichrist had to come back. So John and all these guys are writing about that fact that Antichrist. And it says there in 1 John anyway, by the way, Jay, it even says, shall come. It says here, it is the last time. That's a pretty good clue right there. Well, see, before Stephen was killed and went to Paul, it was the last time. That could have very easily been the end. He could have brought in, the Antichrist could have come down, and then the real Christ could have, all that could have taken place. And forget about Paul and the Gentiles. But Christ didn't, because the Jews didn't do their job. He still had to reach out to the Gentiles. And then if you were to go through the main verses that tells about Paul's commission, what Paul's ministry was to do, which I know I did in that series, and I might do it again tonight, just for a couple of minutes, there's some specific verses to look at here that just show that is Paul only. Like I say, Galatians chapter 1 is the biggest one, but anyway, he's not getting... He says, so this shows that 1 John is during the church age. No, it doesn't show that at all. It shows that it is during the last days, and it shows that, yes, Antichrist is coming. So John is warning these guys about what's about to take place. And it's the Jews. This is to Jews. Look at the doctrinal stuff here. Look at chapter 3. He that committed sin is of the devil. And I just have to ask Jay, he's never answered this yet. Okay, so you say you're born of God. Well, anybody born of God doth not commit sin. Have you done any sins lately? Well, yes, I have. Have you confessed them? Yes, I have. That doesn't matter. If you sin, you're not born of God. You can't sin. Now, again, 1 John 1, 9 says that if you do, you can ask for forgiveness, and God, He was faithful and just and to forgive our sins, and He will do that. And this is probably one of the first concepts I started to figure out here. Now, wait a minute here. If I'm a Christian, and the Bible says what it says, and my sins are paid for, and they're not imputed, this is my reasoning I had a number of years ago, and if my sins aren't imputed, and there's no law, da-da-da-da, then what do I have to ask forgiveness for? And the works that I'm doing, well, they're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. So what do I have to worry about in 1 John 1:9? And all those kind of questions just started to come around and show me that, wait a minute, this stuff isn't written to me. You know why I thought Peter was written to Christians today? Because my pastor told me that. And he's been to school. I hadn't been to school, see? Okay. So anyway, he just struggles with this stuff here. He says here, in short, Daniel 9:27 shows that the Antichrist is on the scene during the tribulation. The Antichrist has not showed up yet in 1 John, so 1 John cannot be written to the tribulation saints. Why not? Why can't John be writing this stuff to let everybody know what's about to take place and this is what you have to be doing? You know? I'll skip the next worthless commentator. Here's another one he says, as I have pointed out, no, you haven't pointed it out, but, you know, regardless of that, or irregardless of whatever the word is, the evidence is against the idea of Hebrews to Jude being tribulation saints. Rather, the evidence indicates it is written to the church age. You may say the evidence is from two little sections of Scripture. How many Scriptures would it take to convince you that Hebrews to Jude is not written to the tribulation? See, he hasn't listened to my stuff. I have given him so many sections to prove the thing. Two little sections, right. He says, I could be discussing with someone who does not believe the deity of Jesus Christ, and I can take them to John 1. Wouldn't John 1 be sufficient to prove Jesus is God? Sure. The book of John has a lot of facts about Jesus. So we read it to learn those things about him. That's not a problem. Why is that so difficult? But do you apply what Jesus taught to those guys? Because if you do, Jay, you need to be a Pentecostal preacher, because the Pentecostals preach signs and wonders and miracles and all that stuff. Because that's what these guys had to be able to do. to show that they were a Christian. But to go to John to show that Jesus is God, that's great stuff to read. John, I love reading the book of John. Especially now since I realize what the situation is and what he's doing. Here's where he says, you could piece John 1:1-3 with Colossians 1:15 and get further support for Jesus being God. Ah, see, there you go. You can piece together John chapter 1 with something else somewhere and prove a whole different point. Which is what religions do. They piece all this stuff together to prove their point. I don't piece anything together. You're right to divide the scriptures. There's not even any need for private interpretation. It's that simple. Private interpretation warning is not until the tribulation. And that's when they'll be twisting Paul's scriptures. Peter talks about that. We don't have unction today. We don't have the anointing today. And we don't have what I was just talking about, whatever that was here. What was I just talking about? whatever. Somebody type me, tell me what I was just talking about. You probably don't know either, do you? See? And why do we do this? I'm waiting. Just got done mentioning something about, the tribulation days and all that. But okay. That tells me that I'm not doing a very good job of instructing here. Okay, let's get back to this thing. Here's another hot one, he says. And this one, I'm still waiting for you, but I don't think you know what I was talking about, do you? Piecing all these scriptures together to prove their point is what he does. You could piece John 1 with Colossians 1 to support Jesus being God. Okay, there's a point. Yeah, Jesus talked about it. You know why? Because he was God. And Paul talked about it. Why? Because he was God. So yeah, both Jews and Gentiles find out that Jesus is God. Does that mean we have to follow the teachings of the Jews, what they were taught when Jesus taught them that? No. And he just cannot get the fact that these things by Peter, James, and John, and Jude were written before Paul's thing. But how'd they get in the back of the Bible? Well, that shows how God touched this King James Bible is. Do I have it written down? I don't think I have it written down on my table of contents, but earlier Bibles had a different content, had a different order of books. I must have wrote that down in one of my other Bibles. And only since the 16 came along, then this thing was put in its final order. Yeah, this really is the Word of God. And it wasn't in existence with Paul. And what those guys were writing to the Jews then, because if they were to take Christ as their Messiah still, he'd have come back, Antichrist would have come back, the whole thing would have taken place, boom. But he didn't. Christ came down to see Paul face to face, took care of the Gentile thing, pushed all the stuff that these guys wrote to the Jews, put it in the back where the Jews will be at the tribulation saints kind of a thing, and there's their writings. For right now, we got Paul's to look at. DJ, little DJ, young DJ. Does it make sense to you? It's really simple. It's just amazingly simple. Okay, anyway, let's go on here. Nobody's answering anything I ask questions to, so just have a quiet congregation. I remember those days. I'd ask a question, they'll just sit there and stare at me. They're afraid to answer or something. Yeah, good for you, DJ. Good answer anyway. Now listen to this. He says, he quotes, all scripture is profitable for application. You say it does not say that. It doesn't say that. I mean, come on, Jay. It doesn't say that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about it's profitable for application. Then he says, it is true, the word application is not found. Oh, okay, then it doesn't say that. Right, Jay? He says, you can't escape the fact that the words used in 2 Timothy 3:16-17 make it clear that what 2 Timothy 3:16-17 means is that all scripture is profitable for some kind of application to our daily lives. No, it doesn't say that. It says it's profitable for for doctrine. Okay, this Bible has doctrine for Adam and Eve. It has a doctrine given to Noah. It has a doctrine given to... I know I'm repeating myself tonight, but... it has a doctrine for Abraham. It has a doctrine for the Jews, for the law. It has a doctrine for Jesus during the gospel time. It's got Peter's doctrine to the Jews. It's got Paul's doctrine to the Gentiles. It's got Peter's doctrine again in James and Jude and a John doctrine for the tribulation. And it's got doctrine for the millennium and eternity. So yeah, the scripture is profitable for doctrine. But it doesn't say that all that doctrine gets applied to us. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? Let's see here. Oh. Okay. One more page here. Does this guy get saved by Luke 8? I don't. This guy's not even saved. He's just a religious guy. And I guess from the person that introduced me to him, I better be quiet here. His mother's listening to him, da-da-da-da, okay. Come on, Mom, help your son get out of the blindness here. One cannot get away from the fact, 2 Timothy 3:16-7 teaches that all Scripture is stuff we can and must apply to our lives. Man, you are all washed up on a sinking ship with that stuff. You said in Ephesians 3, let's see here, that's just not worth talking about. He says the Holy Spirit taught Paul... based on John 14 and 16. Well, yeah, I know, because that's what Jesus said. I'm going to give you the comforter. But again, he's talking to the Jews. See, because now, when Paul comes along, it isn't the Holy Spirit that teaches to Paul, talks to Paul, as Christ himself. Why can't he get that? I mean, it's as plain as can be. Okay. Last one here. He asked, why did Paul preach to the Jews in Acts? You made the point that the Jews got mad at Paul because he was not teaching the Jewish doctrine. If you mean Jewish doctrine being Gospels and Old Testament he was preaching, then I disagree. The reason the Jews got mad is because Paul was preaching that Jesus is the Messiah. Okay, I'll go along with that. The Gospels and Old Testament clearly teach that Jesus is the Messiah. They were filled with envy, not because Paul did not teach from the law, but because he showed them from the law that Jesus is the Christ. Right, and that Jesus taught the law then. During that time. And now he's not. And apparently, Jay doesn't realize that the book of Galatians is a fantastic book preached to the Jews. In fact, more than anybody, even though it's to the Gentiles, there were Jews there because Paul is explaining why the law is no longer the law. So yes, his issue was the law. They stoned him because he preached the resurrection of Christ. They stoned him because He told them that, yeah, Jesus was God, that this Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He told them all these things. Then he says, I am still clueless how the death of Stephen causes the gospel to go to Paul. Well, here's a verse for you, Jay. Here's a verse that may help you, might think about it here. Let's look at Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, verse 20. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, this is Paul talking, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So here's Stephen being killed, and this guy doesn't understand why Stephen's death has anything to do with the gospel going to Paul. Well, there it is. He says, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and I kept all the clothes and everything of the people that killed him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Looks like Paul's next. So, there's one of your verse proofs. Then look at Acts 13. Here's something else for this guy to consider, which I know he won't. 13:43. Now, when the congregation was broke, no, I'm sorry, 1340, was that what he said, 1343? Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. And then on it goes. Why weren't they following Peter? Why weren't they following James and Jude, da-da-da-da? Because these guys knew to follow Paul and Barnabas was his co-buddy. So if the guy doesn't want to get this stuff, he's not going to get it. It's just too obvious. Now, anything else I got jotted down in my little? I read this stuff and I just write little comments. It just torques me. But yeah, again he uses his explanations to prove my point, but he doesn't see that he's saying that. He goes to the Old Testament for some good information about the tribulation of the Antichrist. Well, yeah, of course he does. That's where you got to go to get it. Put that together with Thessalonians. And John, these guys are warning the Jews, here's what we're going to have to start doing here, guys. These are in the last days, and the Antichrist is going to be here. And Peter writes, well, here's the trials that we're going to go through. And Jude writes all these things, warns them about this and that. And James talks about their faith without works is dead. So we're not talking about the faith of Jesus. We're back to their faith again. Man, it's just all over the place. Oh, it's amazing. Now, I won't go through this, because we've done it so many times. But I think probably one of the best things to show anybody, if they'll ever let you, I haven't been able to show anybody for quite a while, just had a roof done, is Paul's specific things that Jesus told Paul. Acts 26:16, Acts 22, Romans 1, Thessalonians. If you want them again, I'll give them to you again. Just, let me know, whatever. So I'll cut off the cam right here. Goodbye, camera folks.